camp is over. The preseason is about to begin, and we're here to break it all down for you on this, the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Kevin Fishbane here. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. I am back from Bourbonnais, and I was not sunburned the entire time. So congratulations to me. My producers, executive producer Dan Mott and associate producer John Solly, I cannot confirm or deny whether or not they were sunburned during the past week, but they were not sitting outside in the Bourbonnais sun watching the Bears practice. So what do we got for you on the show today? We are going to kind of recap the end of training camp, some of the big news. Obviously, Hronas Grassou was kind of the biggest news of training camp. Unfortunate news for sure. And then we will have interviews for you with running back Kadeem Carey and number two quarterback Brian Hoyer. And then talk a little bit about the depth chart the Bears released, preview Thursday night's game against Denver, and talk a little preseason football. Remember, you can get all of our stories at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Follow everything we do on Twitter at Bears_Insider and on Snapchat at Bears_Insider. John Solly, how fire was my Snapchat throughout training camp?
It was, I think, three or four fire emojis, which is a lot for me. I'm not big into using a lot of emojis. Let's go back to something. How did you not get sunburned? Because you and I are both members of a very pale club, and I get sunburned really just sort of looking outside. So how you spent many days in the Bourbonnais sun where there's no shade for you, and you came away, like, are you using SPF like 300, 400 maybe?
You know what? No, I don't go over SPF 30, and I throw on the coat in the morning. I'm very diligent about it, and that's that. And you know, I got a couple spots here and there, but you know, nothing too bad. So I got out of there alive. It was a short camp, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, a sparsely attended camp as well. Not a ton of excitement about this team, but you know, we're excited because football season's starting, and I imagine Soldier Field will hopefully, for the Bears, be in better condition on Thursday night than it was last Saturday for Family Fest, where unfortunately Hronas Grassou, non-contact injury, right knee, tore his ACL, out for the season. He's going to have surgery. Just brutal news for so many reasons. You start with the fact that here is your second-year, third-round pick who was really making strides. He had earned the trust of Jay Cutler. He had been right there as a starting center since the spring, even though they brought in Cody Whitehair, even though they brought in Manny Ramirez, who retired, even though they had Ted Larson. It was Grassou, and he had put on the weight, and he was all set and ready to go, and that was just unfortunate. And then you look at what it does to the team. There are depth concerns now. Ted Larson, is there a drop-off from Grassou to Larson? There probably won't be. Obviously, he needs to get comfortable with the offense and Jay Cutler, but he's a skilled veteran. But the drop-off behind Larson now, everything trickles down. So more pressure on Whitehair and Larson to stay healthy. And look, guys, that offensive line, there's one player who's starting this season at the same position they ended last season, and that's Charles Leno Jr. So that says a lot about the offensive line. And John, you know, Dan was out there with me, actually. So the field didn't look superb, but we're kind of used to that. John Fox was quick not to blame the field conditions. I don't want to get into a whole Soldier Field turf thing, but I do think it's worth mentioning for sure. But just the idea of losing Grassou at this point is just really a crushing blow for this team, who had had injury issues, but nothing like that.
Yeah, and Kevin, I want to ask you, if you're Ryan Pace, John Fox, fast forward to maybe even the end of the season when you start looking at free agency and the draft, how can they possibly evaluate Hronas Grassou at this point?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. You know, and that's the other thing that I was talking about with some of the guys is what happens in the NFL. So what if Ted Larson has an incredible season at center? Then what do you do if you're the Bears? What do you do with your draft pick and Hronas Grassou?
I mean, what if he's not even incredible? What if he's just above average? What if he's just pretty good?
That's the thing. I mean, look, right now, Hronas Grassou is going to need to come back, and he's got to fight for a position next year. He went from in line to be the starting center for this team to who knows where he's going to be in terms of, you know, on this roster next season. What if Ted Larson doesn't play well and they move Cody Whitehair to center and Cody Whitehair excels, you know, because Grisu's a center only kind of guy. So there's a lot of what ifs there, but what we know now, Grisu's done for the year. You hope he has got a great recovery and he can come back next year because he worked really hard this offseason. And the Bears got to rely on Ted Larson, who, look, that's not a bad backup plan. If you look around the other positions on this team, talk about losing a starter. That is maybe one of the better backup situations the Bears had on the entire team. So that was the biggest news to come out of the entire training camp. And, of course, it was the one day they were at Soldier Field. And, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, hamstring, not sure. I don't expect it. I would be surprised if he played Thursday. I think they're going to continue to be very, very safe with him. But he was catching passes in practice, so he's getting back to full health. But my favorite story, guys, from the end of camp was Mitch Unrein. Mitch Unrein's wife, Corey Cogdell, won a bronze medal in trap shooting, which is awesome. And my favorite part of the story was poor Mitch Unrein had to watch the thing on his phone because they weren't putting it on TV. He was worried they weren't going to stream it. And could you imagine, you can't go to Rio with your wife to watch her in person, and you're on your phone, you know, watching this and watching her win a bronze medal. So that was a pretty cool thing to get to hear him kind of go walk through the emotions and talk about that. So that was kind of a fun little non-football part of camp. But, you know, on this show, we give you some football, but we also like to have some fun, which is going to lead me in to our first interview, and that's with Bears running back Kadeem Carey. We talk about certainly the running back position and what he's been working on, but we also going to talk about some touchdown dances and touchdown celebrations. So tune in right now for this interview with Kadeem Carey. We're here with Kadeem Carey, your third camp. So what's different about this camp for you than the other two?
Just feel like I'm going in as a leader, you know, showing these younger guys how to play their role on special teams, how to get in, you know, make the team. And it's just a lot faster, or a lot slower for me, you know, so I can play extremely fast and, you know, go out there and show what I can do.
Let's talk about special teams. The first time you're out there as like the up guy on the kickoff return, that first hit, I mean, do you remember just being out there? I mean, you were obviously really impressed. Jeff Rogers, a special teams coach, with, you know, we all know you love to hit, but you hadn't done it in special teams before. What was that experience like for you last year?
It was good. I mean, I love playing football, so the way getting out there, just being on the field, was just something special. And then I made a good play and, you know, got recognized a little bit for it, so it felt good. I could say I like attention, so, you know, when my teammates start jumping up and down and, you know, congratulating me on a good hit and a good return, you know, made me want to do more.
Now, in camp, you had that nice catch from Brian Hoyer and that little wheel route situation. Obviously, you talked about you've been working a lot on receiving a little bit, getting those hands better. What are some of the things you've been doing to become a better receiver?
You know, just definitely hitting the jugs, catching, getting a lot of balls spit at me. And then off-season, I was working on routes, definitely, you know, getting top end, getting in and out of my routes, catching with the quarterbacks, linked up with Fells a couple times, you know, caught some balls from him, you know, with no gloves. So just focusing on small things, just looking at it and catching the ball a lot more just from the jugs or from the quarterbacks.
How hard is it to show off your running style in training camp? Because you're such a physical guy, but you also don't necessarily want to hurt some of your teammates. And you got to, you know, I know that there's such an emphasis on keeping guys up off the ground. Do you have to kind of hold yourself back? I mean, how do you balance that?
Yeah, you definitely got to hold yourself back. You got to know the situation. You know, I love, obviously, when they say full go, you know, bring the back down. So that's the time that you can actually show your skill, because they're trying to bring you down. So you got to make sure that you don't get brought down. So that's when you can showcase it. But low-key, you can really just lighten it up on contact, you know, fight through their little blow they're going to deliver and just try to get upfield, work for conditioning, and get game ready.
So of the backs, I mean, you generally known as the guy who kind of brings it a little bit. On the other side of the ball, who's the guy that brings it right back to you? Who's someone you're running through the hole and you're like, oh, I hope it's not so-and-so is going to be coming over?
Man, you know, Trevathan and Freeman, you know, them two linebackers are some good linebackers. And, you know, they bring it every time. Yeah. So when you see them, you just have your shoulders ready, your pads ready, or get ready for a move to put on them because they're ready.
What's it like? We're going to get a little fun here. What's it like to be able to look down on your offensive coordinator?
It's pretty good, you know, because we always looking up to these higher authority people here. So to look down on him is gives you a little bit of pride.
Because what are you? You 5'10"? Okay. He says Stan. Okay. And that means you're taller than Stan Drayton too, right?
Yep, you know.
So look at you.
Well, that ain't saying a lot, you know. I mean, the smallest one in our room is probably Jaquizz.
Right.
You know, so it's them three all short people together.
Are you the loudest in the running back room, verbally?
Yes, I would say I am. Definitely.
You probably have been, because Matt was a soft-spoken guy, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, he was the leader. But now, I mean, you got some guys who are just kind of soft-spoken guys. You mm-hmm. got to bring it both physically and verbally a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what my little role is, you know. I'm outspoken, get us rumbling, getting us going in that running back room, because we do got some quiet. You got Quiz, that's a good leader, you know. Jerm's a good leader, but quietly and through his play. I feel like I'm, you know, through my play and verbally, that's where I roll in.
So I was thinking about this, you know, Brandon's been gone for a year, Marty's gone. Those guys they chirped. Those guys talked. I don't need a comment from him. I'm just talking about it. They talked. And, you know, Jay's a lead-by-example guy. Uh-huh. Alshon and Kevin are kind of soft-spoken guys. Bellamy talks. I'm trying to think, who's loud on offense? Kyle, you, Bellamy. I mean, who are some of the guys that can, you know, raise the volume a little bit?
That's the three. You named them. Kyle, me, and Bellamy. And then we like to talk. We like to get things going. You know, DT has a little swag out there, too.
He had a good day today,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he had an awesome day today. So when he catches that ball, he likes to spin it. You know, he likes getting a defender face. So I like that kind of action to get us all rolling. I mean, we're going to have to need them people speaking up, you know, to carry this team.
All right, before we get to our quick lightning round to finish the interview, let's talk about the touchdown dance in Tampa. Touchdown celebration you had. Is that something you worked on a little bit? You knew that when you scored, you're gonna bust that pose out.
Yeah, you know, I probably practiced on it for a week. I was in the kitchen showing my wife, you know, look, babe, don't let me score. If I score, I'm gonna have to bust it out on him. So then the first time I scored, I kind of choked. You know, I was like, God, this is my moment. But then everybody started like jumping on me and stuff, so I kind of choked. I was like, dang. I didn't do what I wanted to do, so then I got another opportunity with a pass in the left corner. So, you know, I was like, oh, this is my chance. Now or never, so I got to bust the move out.
There's a great photo, too, that came with that. So you
got
that forever.
MJ, man. Shout out to Michael.
So you got that photo for a while. Now, obviously, do you have to run these touchdown celebrations past your wife? Does she have to approve them? She got to make sure it's okay.
Well, she didn't approve that Michael Jackson one, so, you know, she lost authority of being in control of that.
All right, ready for the lightning round?
Yeah, let's do it.
Favorite food or meal?
Favorite food, chicken Alfredo.
What if you gotta listen to one music artist song before you go out in the field? What is it?
Anything by Drake.
You guys gotta get Drake out here to a Bears game. I mean, there's now Toronto NFL team, so let's, you know, maybe
send
have
him out here.
Maybe adopt him. You know, have him adopt the Bears. Right? Doesn't
hey,
he have an NFL
too.
Team?
I don't think,
you know?
So.
What's one thing you gotta have with you when you come to Bourbonnais? Like, you're packing for Bourbonnais, you're like, okay, I'm in the dorms. This is something I gotta make sure I have with me.
I would definitely say, golly, your Normatec. Your Normatec.
Yeah.
I had to get the Normatec. Bring the legs back.
What's something you gotta have on any road trip?
Any road trip?
Yeah.
I say my Bose speaker.
Two more. Best dressed guy on the team.
Best dressed guy on the team. I bet you Kevin White's gonna come with some swing.
Yeah,
he got a little bit of money to get some good suits. So he I'm gonna say me though. We're gonna have a competition on that. Bellamy dress is good too.
And the best Arizona Wildcat.
The best Arizona Wildcat
ever. Who's ever. The best Arizona Wildcat
that did it? The best one that did it. Oof. Teddy Bluesky.
All right.
Yep.
Don't hear that one very often.
Really?
Yeah. I like what? That though. I don't know. I guess I didn't know where you were going to go with it. I like that, though. All right. That was Kadeem Carey.
Come on, don't he got a Super Bowl?
He does, yeah.
All right,
that's true.
Gotta give it.
That's true.
He's coming up, but yeah. I'll give it Teddy right now. Man.
All right. Kadeem Carey, join us in the podcast. Thank you.
All right.
So I should mention that when I gave him that Arizona question, John, I was, like, in my head thinking about basketball, too. I had pretty much
like all athletes, so that's why I was a little thrown off when he said Teddy Bruschi. But then when I posed the question to friend of the program, Pat Finley, who covered Arizona for a while, he said Teddy Bruschi too, so clearly I'm phrasing the question wrong.
Who were you expecting in this?
Well, they have a pretty loaded basketball history, so I thought maybe he would say, like, I don't know, Steve Kerr, Mike Bibby. I don't know. I didn't have an idea of where he would go in before I asked the question. But Teddy Bruschi does make a fair amount of sense.
Yeah, those are fun questions to ask.
So it's fine. But no, Kadeem Carey is a fun interview. And that actually interview brings me quickly. I want to talk about the depth chart, which came out, the unofficial one for the preseason. And John, I know you pay attention to this. Which writer had the best screenshotted tweet of the depth chart?
You know,
it was me, wasn't it?
I think it was you. I think you had the framing just right. The lighting was good. I think you nailed it.
I don't screw around my screenshotting. You can always count on my Twitter for that. So there weren't a ton of surprises on there. We have to really take these things with a grain of salt. The coaches don't love to put these out for us, but they do. So, you know, like Leonard Floyd's listed with the third team, this third stringers, but that's because there's just veterans ahead of him. So don't put a lot into that. But Kadeem Carey listed as the number two running back ahead of Jaquizz Rodgers, which isn't a surprise, but let's remember that at this time last year, it was clearly Jaquizz Rodgers. In fact, the first few games, it was Jaquizz Rodgers before Kadeem Carey really burst onto the scene. And John and Dan, a little kudos. I don't know if you guys remember the Kadeem Carey missed interview, but I obviously pressed record this time.
Great job. Good job.
That was well done, Kevin. Thank you for doing your job.
Yes. So speaking of part of my doing my job, let's talk about Loot Crate, guys. LootCrate.com. Loot Crate is our sponsor. If you go to LootCrate.com/Shaw, S-H-A-W, and use that word, Shaw, as your promo code, you're going to get $3 off your first crate. You're asking yourself, what are in these mystery crates? Well, let me tell you, you get collectibles, apparel, and more from all your favorite pop culture video game franchises. You get a crate every month. You can get a t-shirt, a mug, different cool things for people that are into some of these games and whatnot. And this month, the month of August, we're talking Anti-Hero, not the beer. But the anti-hero that you see in DC Comics and Kill Bill, and we've talked about this in the show, my favorite TV show, Archer, Sterling, Mallory Archer, one of the greatest characters in television. You can get some stuff in this month's crate from Archer. If you use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, you're going to get $3 off that first crate from LootCrate.com. So, guys, just to go back to that depth chart a little bit, you know, I wrote a thought about it. That's on our website, profootballweekly.com/bears. Hope everyone's enjoying morning bears. If you head to our website early, you know, I'm talking like 7 a.m., right when you wake up, you'll see a post there, morning bears. It'll catch you up on all the things you missed from the day before, and then kind of a thought for the day. So I talked about the depth chart, and I mentioned the running back situation. There's one name that kind of stood out to me, and that's Devante Bosby. He is a cornerback who you probably haven't heard of before, but he's on the practice squad last year. He's listed as your second team corner ahead of Sherrick McManus and DeAndre Hall, so some guys that Bears fans probably know a little bit better. So that's kind of a name to kind of watch in the preseason. 6'2" guy. Obviously, he's been in the system now for a year. Let's see if he kind of makes some waves. But otherwise, you know, there wasn't really a ton to glean from that depth chart. It gives us some talk show fodder. But one of the things on that depth chart was Brian Hoyer, your number two quarterback, the backup quarterback for Chicago Bears. Expect to see a lot of Brian Hoyer on Thursday night as well as in preseason game number 2 and 3. We'll see if he plays in the finale at all. But, you know, preseason is big time for the number twos, the backups. Hoyer, you know, you could argue based on what he did last season in Houston, 19 touchdowns, 7 picks, is one of the better backup situations the Bears have had, at least since Josh McCown. So, you know, curious to see how he continues to work with that second team. And I got a chance to catch up with him on the final day in Bourbonnais. Here is that interview.
joined here by Bears quarterback Brian Hoyer. First preseason game Thursday night. You've done a bunch of preseasons, obviously, with a few different teams. What are kind of your general goals when you go into a preseason?
I think, you know, when you go into that first preseason game, you just got to go out and be able to execute. You don't want to have a lot of penalties. You don't want to have a lot of mental errors. You want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows what to do. You know what I mean? So you're especially with the role I'm in now, you're going to be playing with some younger guys. Make sure they're on top of their things. I always tell them, you know, look, if you have a question, when we break that huddle, don't hesitate to ask. I'd rather have you take an extra second, ask me, you know, what to do than go out there and do the wrong thing. So, you know, hopefully we clean that up, and, you know, we have a lot of, I think we've had, you know, 11, 12 practices now. So, you know, you just go up and you know, try to keep things simple and just go play.
You obviously had the experience with Dow Loggins in Cleveland. What is it about his offense and your skill set that you think is a good match?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, my relationship with Dow, you know, that was made an easy decision for me to come here, having him as a quarterback coach. And now to see him in the coordinator role has really been fun. He's, you know, obviously taken ownership over it. He's been around a lot of great coaches, and you can tell that he's paid attention when he had those opportunities. He's learned from those guys, whether it was Adam Gase, Kyle Shanahan, you know, everybody else that he's been around. And, you know, so him implementing his own system, putting his own spin on it, has been really fun to be a part of, because it's kind of from systems that I've been in before. So it's really been a lot of fun for me.
Did it surprise you when you first met him, a guy that short could be that loud?
Well, the first time I met him, he wasn't like that. He was the quarterback coach. And so to be able to see him evolve and take over that role has been fun.
When you look at the schedule, you guys going to Foxborough, obviously, next week with the Patriots. You kind of looking forward to that reunion there?
I think, you know, for anyone, when you do these joint practices, it's great, because going over against the same guys over and over and over again, it gets a little monotonous. And I think, you know, it's good to go against someone else, see some different looks. Obviously, me, you know, I was there for 4 years, so it'll be good to go back and spend some time there, practice against a great team, and then go play the game the next the following Thursday night.
You obviously knew Tom pretty well, and still do, I'm sure. Do you feel bad for all the defenses he's going to face when he comes back? he's going to be a little chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, I think, you know, he always has had that, you know, his whole entire career. That's what made him, you know, who he is. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, for me, it'll be good to go up there, see him, you know, see him practice again. It was always fun to watch him practice. I learned so much as his backup, just watching his intensity in practice. And, you know, so to go up there and see that again, I think it'll be good for our team, and it'll be fun.
You've been around the league for a while now. What if I told you last year that coming into this season, Brock Osweiler would be the quarterback of Houston, your last team, and Robert Griffin III would be the quarterback of Cleveland, your previous team, you probably wouldn't have guessed that. I mean, what do you think about the way that your position, the kind of the carousel of those that has gone?
That's just the way this league is. I mean, you never really know what's going to happen. You got to take it one game at a time, one day at a time. And like you said, if you said that last year, you would say, you know, it's crazy, but that's just the way this league is. I think it's, you know, a production league, and you don't have a lot of time to show that you can produce. I mean, it's on to the next one after that. So whether it's fair or not, I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's what we sign up for as players. So, you know, for me, I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be here, part of a great organization with guys that I like, and you know, do whatever I can to help this team win.
When you and Dave Ragone went to the same high school, obviously several years apart. So who's the more famous guy at that high school?
Oh, me by far, I think.
I think he actually said the same, so.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. You know, so it's kind of funny. We were talking the other day. I think our high school, I think they've won 12 state championships since 1988. Wow. And of the quarterbacks that have gone through there, the two guys that had, you know, the longest tenure in the NFL, neither of us won the state championship.
Really?
So, you know, that says a lot about that. But, no, Dave, he was another reason why coming here was kind of a no-brainer. I've known him since I was, you know, a high schooler. I've known, you know, really, he was recruited to Louisville by John L. Smith. John L. Smith went to Michigan State. He recruited me. So there's a lot of ties there. And it's been fun. You know, we kind of jab each other back and forth, because it's kind of more, you know, big brother, little brother between us. And So it's been a lot of fun.
Are you looking forward to, speaking of Giles Smith, Michigan State, you can watch Spartans game with Jeremy Langford this fall?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We had, you know, there was a lot of Spartans in Houston last year, so we would watch together on those Saturdays, whether we're at the hotel or whatever. So I got to check and see the schedule. I don't know if they're playing Northwestern or not, but if they're playing...
I should know that.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they're playing them at Northwestern, maybe that's something that I could make it down to if we're home, a home game or something. But, you know, obviously very proud of what they've accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Just a few more. What's something you've learned about Jay that maybe you didn't know about him before working with him?
Yeah, I think, you know, you get to spend a lot of time with guys, so you learn about them on, off the field. I think he's a very intense competitor. Obviously, I think at this level, to be a starting quarterback, you have to be. So, you know, you get to see that on a daily basis. Obviously, the arm strength, when you get to, you know, obviously playing against him, you can see it. But then when you see it day in and day out, it obviously really jumps off the board. And I think just his passion to win, I mean, that's something that you can see from an insider's perspective. And it's been fun to kind of join that room and go out there and compete every day.
You guys have quite different cadences out there. He's got, like, kind of the raspy. And so we've been out here for a few years listening to him, and then you come out here, it's very clear. Not that they don't understand him, but it's kind of been interesting to learn your different cadences. Have you had the same kind of cadence throughout your football career?
Yeah, I think you try to change it from place to place, you know, whatever, you know, that kind of is. So I try to get it as close as I can to Jay's, at least the rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously our voices might be a little bit different, but you try to get that rhythm so, you know, when people are coming in, it's always the same. You're trying to hear the same you know, message and tone. So you know, maybe a little bit more voice inflection here or there, but that's just the way it goes, I think.
We'll wrap up with just two more. On this podcast, we talk about hair a little bit. And in that quarterback room, there's a very different dynamic there. Sure. You have Coach Ragone and Connor on one side, and you have Jay and David on the complete other. There's no middle ground there. I mean, is everybody calm in there?
Well, Ragone might be the middle ground because he refuses to get rid of the horseshoe
look.
That's
true, yeah.
And we're trying to tell him, if you're going to do that, you just got to grow it out and go with it. And he refuses to. So I think, you know, Connor and I got the bald look going. Fits us pretty well, and Jay and Dave, you know, they got the good hair genes. Yeah. They could do whatever they want, cut it whatever way they want, and then Rick Owens is kind of in the middle, and he needs to commit one way or the other.
Now, I'll wrap up with this. Your time in Cleveland, are you aware that you're the answer to the Cleveland trivia question?
Only quarterback with a winning record.
And I know you have loftier goals in your football career, and you've had a lot of accomplishments throughout, you know, college and being in the pros, but you are the answer to that trivia question with the winning record.
And I don't know how long it'll take for that to get beaten, but the good thing is, being from there, at least I'll always be welcome back there. So if I never play another game for them, I think that's something that I can, you know, retire and stay, you know, I will never have a problem going back to Cleveland. So it's funny now, whenever I go back, they're like, oh, we want you back. I was like, nothing I can do about it now, you know. So like I said, you know, we talked about the business before. It's just, you never know what's going to happen, and that's just the way it is. So you got to, you know, prepare, and whenever you get your opportunity, try to take the most advantage of it.
All right, thanks for joining us. I hope you guys like that I always tell the player, thanks for joining us, even though
there's
the
no us.
It's just me.
There's
okay.
No us.
it's the general. It's the royal us.
The royal us.
You know, you guys are there with me in spirit in Bourbonnais. And by the way, I was pretty embarrassed that I didn't know off the top of my head when Northwestern was playing Michigan State. They are playing each other in East Lansing this year. Maybe I'll try to figure out a wager with Brian Hoyer or Jeremy Langford when we get to that point. But he was a good sport because I finished the interview essentially by pointing out that he doesn't have any hair and then pointing out that he played for a really bad franchise in Cleveland, but he's like the one guy that had a winning record.
You're so nice to our guests. So you're bald and kind of had a loser career?
Right.
Come on, man.
Kind of like my first day in Bourbonnais, I talked to Eddie Royal about how he's old and no one talks about him. But these guys are good sports.
You keep it real, Kevin.
That's right. You are honest, at least.
I am the ultimate TBH, to be honest, with these guys. But good, it was nice of him to take some time and to talk. And I think it helps Jay Cutler to have a guy like Brian Hoyer in that room. It's a great dynamic, too, because you have Hoyer, who's done this at a high level for a while,
And then you have Fales, who's been with Cutler. This is their third season together now. And Fales certainly knows the offense pretty well. So that should be a good dynamic in there to help Jay Cutler. And as I said, you know, Brian Hoyer is working with a different caliber of receiver than Jay is when they're in workouts. And think about this, guys. Because Jeffries and Royal have been out the last few practices, that's moved some guys from the second team up to the first team. So now you're talking about Brian Hoyer working with, you know, some third stringers too when he's playing quarterback. So that's something that you know, good quarterbacks need to be able to balance that out. And we'll learn more about Brian Hoyer and this offense Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Soldier Field, Bears, Broncos, first preseason game of the year. And yeah, fire it up. It's funny when the Bears score a preseason touchdown and they play that song and everyone goes crazy.
Does everyone really go crazy for a preseason touchdown?
They get excited. You know, here, I'll say this. There are probably some people who go to preseason games that don't go to regular season games. So this is their only chance to see the Bears. So I get it. It's fine. You know, our goal as writers is just, you know, make sure the big things happen in the first half. We can get our stories done by halftime. You know, see what third stringers get play. So, you know, what you guys as fans should look for on Thursday night, take a look at who's playing, who's in the huddle with Jay Cutler. Those are the receivers and running backs that have the most confidence, not only from Jay, but from Dow Loggins and the offensive staff. So keep an eye on that. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, see what they think of Leonard Floyd. Are they going to give him some reps with the starters? You know, is Jonathan Bullard going to get any reps with the ones? And it's just going to be hard for folks to see on TV, so follow my Twitter, at KFishman. I will be doing my best to let you know which players are which with which kicking units, because that is super nerdy inside football, but these are the final guys on the roster. When you're looking at the competition, is it outside linebacker, cornerback, safety? The guys that are going to make the team are the guys who are best in the kicking game. So seeing who the first guys are out there for the kick coverage, the punt coverage, seeing who the first returners are in the wide receiver battle, what have you. So those are kind of good things to look for. John, anything you're going to be watching on Thursday night?
Yeah, I'm going to look for the difference between Dow Loggins' offense and Adam Gase's offense. I don't know that we're going to be able to learn much in essentially one quarter of the first preseason game, but I'm excited to see what the beginnings of those differences are.
Yeah, that's true. I think it'd be nice to see some wrinkles. I don't know how much they're going to unveil. I think, to be at the risk of being simplistic, I think the one of the things you're going to see more of is the throwing the ball downfield. And I think that's a twofold thing. One, I think Dow Loggins might be ready to take some risks, and they just might have, with Kevin White, they might have the ability to do it more often. So you got to take that, you know, if Jay Cutler's launching the ball downfield to Kevin White, you got to try to balance. Is that something that Dow Loggins has in his playbook that we didn't see from Adam Gase? Or is that just because Jay Cutler has a guy he can throw the ball to that he didn't have last year? Which reminds me, guys, one of the stories we'll have up on the website Tuesday evening is on Deontay Thompson, who I spoke to at the last day in Bourbonnais. And he's one of those speed weapons that they could, you know, utilize in terms of stretching the defense and letting Jay show off that arm strength. Which also leads me to tell you about all the wonderful stories we have on our website. I'm going to rattle them off for you, and you're going to go to profootballweekly.com/Bears and read them all. We got notebooks from every day of Bears practices. We have interviews with Tony Moiaki, an interesting player to watch because I don't expect Zach Miller to play, so that's going to be more reps for Tony Moiaki, Wheaton Warrenville South grad. We got a story on the Bears' new starting center, Ted Larson. Hub wrote a column about Curtis Johnson, the Bears wide receivers coach, so you should check that out. And I had a story about how life kind of sucks when you're a cornerback at training camp and everyone's cheering for the offense. But training camp's over now, so they don't have to worry about fans rooting against them. But they did all tell me they kind of enjoyed being the bad guy. So that was something. And guys, I have some sad news for you. No Bachelorette update, because Bachelorette is over, and I am not watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Well, why not?
because I don't want to, and I have other things to do.
Well, I suppose you could report on the Bears.
Well, as we talked about off air, I have been glued to the Olympics. I am such a fan of these swimmers and gymnastics, like Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky. Those two are so incredibly good at what they do. I will not be 10% good at anything as the way they are at their respective sports. So that's been pretty awesome to watch. So I think that's a good reason to not watch Bachelor in Paradise. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
And we can reel back in some of the listeners we might have lost for every time I gave my 90-second Bachelorette update. Or are we going to lose people that tuned in just to hear what I had to say about the latest episode of The Bachelorette? We'll have to check the metrics, maybe do some focus groups, and see what you guys are looking for.
We'll but get right on that, Kevin.
Yeah, just add it to whatever else is on your guys' plate. So that's going to do it for this episode of our podcast. We want to remind you to subscribe on iTunes. Search the new name, Pro Football Weekly Chicago. Don't worry, it's the same great podcast. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a review while you're at it. Our Twitter is @Bears_Insider. I am @KFishbane. Be sure to follow along for lots of tweets and updates from the preseason opener on Thursday, and as well as the practices as they get going next week at Halas Hall this weekend and then in Foxborough next week. Follow on Snapchat @Bears_Insider. You can see sights and sounds from Soldier Field and all the places the Bears go this season. Thank yous to hand around to the players that talk to me and were good sports with my silly questions. That would be Bears running back Kadeem Carey and Bears quarterback Brian Hoyer. For my executive producer Dan Mott and my associate producer John Solly, I am Kevin Fishbane. That does it for this week's episode. We got a preseason game on Thursday, which means more Bears talk next week.